Welcome back. 448, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Big star on Fox News. I saw you a little while ago.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I try and keep that stuff quiet, but I'm told that I was spied.
So. Well, of course. You know, I have Fox News in the background. You know, during the whole show. In fact, during the entire day, Fox News stays on in this room, and CNN stays on in the other room because Ann's a big lefty, right? Oh, I'm kidding about that.
Don't tell the higher ups that I was not slaving away at my desk. They'd probably fire me. So.
Actually, I thought you did an outstanding job.
That's very kind.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. All right, I got a bunch of stuff to get into with you here this afternoon. In fact, one of the things you were just talking about, the WARN Act. Explain that, will you?
Sure. So this is federal law, and it's meant to try and protect employees from mass layoffs, so that they don't get hit out of the blue. If a company is going to do mass layoffs or shut down a full plant or something like that, they are required to give at least 60 days notice to employees who might be affected, and that gives the employees a chance to make plans, contingency plans, get new training, stuff like that.
Right.
That is federal law. With the automatic defense cuts coming up, a lot of defense contractors have said, hey, we're going to have to start warning people under the WARN Act. We're going to have to start warning people, and it just so happens that 60-day period is right before the election. Since the sequesters hit on January 2nd, so 60 days before that works out to right around November, November 3rd or 4th or 5th or so.
Sure.
So you have your WARN Act notices that would go out right as the election is about to happen, and the Obama administration is, of course, scared to death of that because it's unclear exactly who gets blamed for defense sequesters, but the Republicans are doing their very best to make sure that Obama is the one who gets blamed, and so the Department of Labor, which actually enforces this sort of stuff and oversees the WARN Act, issued guidance yesterday that actually told the defense contractors, no, we actually don't think you need to worry about it.
We
think the sequesters will get dealt with, so don't go rushing out and warning people they're going to get laid off.
Really? That's very interesting. I'm wondering who the higher ups are at the Labor Department. Oh, wait a minute. Would that be someone in the Democratic Party? Perhaps. All right. Let's move on to something else. This report on illegals released by the feds committing 19 murders and 142 sex crimes. That floored me when I saw that today. That is staggering.
Yeah, you and I have talked in the past back when this is from the House Judiciary Committee, which had actually had the subpoena, and we talked about the subpoena fight back last year. The House Judiciary Committee and its chairman, Lamar Smith, kept trying to get this data from the Homeland Security Department, and the data was about who was being released, who is being reported to the federal authorities, and then the federal authorities basically said, no, look the other way, and said, no, we don't really want to bother picking you up among both illegal and legal immigrants. Finally, I think it was in December, the committee finally got the data, and they gave it over to Congressional Research Service, which is Congress's research arm, and the report was released today that said, yeah, in fact, they took all the – there are 160,000 or so names of people who were of immigrants, legal and illegal, who were brought into the system. Essentially, the federal authorities were notified by state and local police or by state and local jails that – they had these people in their custody, and the federal government decided, in the cases of legal immigrants, there was no reason to go pick them up by and large. In the case of illegal immigrants, they could have gone and picked them up, but generally declined to, or in some cases didn't get there in time, and the local authorities already released them. So that's the universe we're talking about. That's the data we're talking about. Congressional Research Service crunched those numbers and compared those numbers with later criminal records and whatnot, and that's where you come up with the 19 people that's actually illegal immigrants. Those are specifically people who the federal government could have deported,
right,
but didn't deport. And they're, as you said, 19 of them later went on to be charged with murders and more than 142 sex crime charges lodged against those illegal immigrants. So it's those are the very real consequences of the decision making that the federal government is making here. And I go back, we've talked about this in the past, the nun in Prince William County who was killed by an illegal immigrant who'd had multiple drunk driving arrests on his record in the past. You know, this is the situation where it raises the question of, well, if that person weren't here because they had no right to be here and had been removed, would that nun still be living? Would the, you know, would we have 19 fewer murders? And of course, it's impossible to know for sure, but it seems pretty likely.
Mm. That is, that's, to me, that's just staggering. And I don't know how, you know, if you're a member of the Obama campaign right now, you got to be looking at this as even more fuel for the right going into November.
Sure. I mean, this is, you know, the president has made all these very pointed steps to try and lessen the people who, essentially the rank and file illegal immigrants that he's deporting, and trying to focus his attention. And numbers like this suggest, well, there are real consequences when you don't go out and deport everybody who you can who comes across the radar. You know, bad public safety consequences can result.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to move on to another story that I know you dealt with yesterday afternoon, and I wanted to kind of catch up with you and couldn't get to you yesterday, and that is that the Democratic platform, the story of them endorsing gay marriage.
Right.
Considered a bold move or a gamble?
That's a really good question. Republicans say it's a gamble that will backfire. I've heard from a number of Republican strategists who are sort of, you know, rubbing their hands in glee, saying that this is going to cause a real problem. I mean, first of all, of course, North Carolina, where Democrats are having their convention and will actually ratify this platform, that's a state where this issue does not go over very well. It's, you know, it will continue to add to the sort of tension about Democrats choosing Charlotte in North Carolina, a state that they're going to do horribly in the election. So it will certainly heighten that tension. What it does, though, is, you know, from their standpoint, it absolutely helps them energize a particular set of donors, voters, and more so a particular set of donors who they're really going to need to show up and get energized for this election. So from their standpoint, they're absolutely energizing a group of people they need to energize. Whether that's more important, the enthusiasm of that small select but very, you know, wealthy and dedicated group of voters outweighs sort of the broad overall getting it tossed onto the list of other social issues that conservatives might vote on. We'll have to see. I mean, I guess I would say it's both a bold move and a gamble.
Yeah, you know, 32 out of 32 states have held that a marriage is of one woman and one man. You point that out. And that would be a problem if Obama lost a bunch of those states, or all of them, right?
Right. And so it's actually every state where this has been put on the ballot, 32 states have actually held a referendum of some sort on a constitutional amendment or a law or whatnot on marriage, and all 32 have voted to endorse marriage as a man and a woman. The states that have gone the other direction and localities that have gone the other direction have done so through legislative or court action. So anytime the voters have been asked to vote on this, they always, 32 out of 32 times, have voted for one man, one woman. And so that's essentially what this comes down to, is voters, by and large, have absolutely made their preference clear on this. The question is whether that issue rises high enough on the list of things they care about this year where it will backfire on the president, or is it the sort of thing where the enthusiasm of those who actually support gay marriage is so much that it outweighs sort of, you know, this being tossed as one of a bunch of other issues for conservatives.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to find myself studying the list of Democrats running in conservative districts just to see if this has any type of impact on them come November. And one final thing. Is this Barney Frank's swan song? Is that what you take away from this?
I don't know about that, but it's safe to say that he's very happy to see it happen, to have his party embrace this and have President Obama embrace this before he leaves Congress. And as you point out, he's retiring at the end of this year, and as one of the openly gay members of Congress, it matters immensely to him. He, of course, got married to his partner earlier this year, I believe, and and this issue matters immensely to him. So it's something he'll be very happy to see that his party, if his party does go ahead and ratify this in Charlotte, he'll be very happy to see that. He'd probably consider the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill his swan song, you know, in terms of major legislation. But as an issue that makes him happy, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Stephen, always great to have you on the air. And now that you're a big star of Fox News, I hope that doesn't stop you from coming back on the air.
You guys always take priority.
Good answer. See you later.
Bye.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. It is 4:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.